stepmother, and you have two lovely sisters to keep company. So I'll know, as far away as I may be, that you'll be safe.
Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella?
Yes, stepmother.
Why don't you even call me that? Madam will do.
Cinder wench. Dirty Ella. Cinderella.
Are you all right, miss? What do they call you?
Never mind what they call me.
I'm sorry.
It's not your doing.
Nor yours either, I'll bet. I hope to see you again, miss.
And are you?
Ella, you have more kindness in your little finger than most people possess in their whole body.
Cody, I see why you have a thing for Miss Helen Bottom Carter, man.
Jesus Christ, we're still on that?
Yeah, we still on that, baby. As soon as she came on screen, dude, I said, God damn, Cody. Someone said, shh. I said, don't you shush me. Cody got a thing for her.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, man. You know, it's hard to say how gorgeous that chick is. Because she's always got makeup and shit on. She's like the female Johnny Depp version, you know. Because she's always covering herself up with makeup and trying to make herself ugly, but... And here, you know, she plays the fairy godmother. And when she did her wardrobe change, I was like, God damn, Helen Bottom Carter is fine. I don't know. Cody, have you ever looked at Helen Bottom Carter?
No, not really. I always thought she was a cute girl. But most of her roles, she isn't wearing, like, a lot of makeup. She's looking crazy and shit with her hair and all that.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't seen the movie, obviously. We're talking about Cinderella here, but... You haven't seen the movie, but if she's in the trailer and you see her as the fairy godmother, she's pretty hot, man. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, damn, why does she wear that makeup and shit? She's trying to hide all this from P1. What's wrong with her? She's just like, oh, Haley, girl, I feel sorry for you because that nigga is a coming. Oh, and the lovely Haley Atwood. Oh,
I was gonna say, man, you mentioned Helen Bottom Carter a lot over Haley Atwood. That's shocking.
Oh, because Haley Atwell, oh, she plays the mother. And, you know, she was hard to recognize in the movie, dude.
Really?
I ain't gonna lie. And she didn't have any makeup on her. So, I mean, she's just, I don't know if it's just because she didn't have the red lipstick I'm used to seeing her on in Agent Carter. But it was just hard seeing. I was just like, and then they showed a side shot of her. And I was like, that's Haley Atwell right there. I was like, I know her now. I was like, damn. I was like, why is she so fucking hard? Maybe I was like, because she got the blonde hair and shit like that. Maybe I was throwing me off or something, but I just could not see her as Haley Atwell. But people, they like, damn, y'all jumping into talking about these women and shit. Y'all ain't even fucking gave a synopsis. Why do you need a synopsis? Cinderella, come on now. Fucking Cinderella. It's been how long since? 1952 or something like that?
Everybody knows.
And, you know, but you know what, Cody?
It's older than that, I think.
I'm about to say, yeah, I think it is old. But you know what, Cody? I'm a nice guy, sort of.
quote unquote nice.
Yes. When I can be. So, you know, I'll give a synopsis anyway, though. But we got Cinderella here, and played by the lovely, very lovely, too, man. This is not my Helen Bottom Carter or Kate Blant. I mean, not Kate. Haley Atwell, you know, lovely here, but Lily James, she's got a little cute personality to her that I just like. You know, she just when she was in this role, she was like bringing some a bubbly personality, and I was like, you know what, I like her.
She looks really innocent.
Yes, she looks very like she looks so innocent that I would keep her away from Z and CJ.
She'd keep away from you.
You know, me, I think I would do her some, you know, charm and pleasure if you ask me. You know, I think I'd bring some class to her. You know. Cody's like, okay, nigga, you need to stop right now. I'd make that girl look like a Helen Bottom Carter in a Harry Potter film by the time I'm done. She'd come out as Cinderella looking like the stepmother at the end of this film. And she's grown up, you know, with her mother and father. They loved her to death. Her father's always going away on business trips and stuff like that. And, you know, her mother is always, she's really close to her mother in the film at the beginning here. They sure was a young girl. And her mother is constantly telling her, look, you know, no matter what happens, you need to always be courteous, be kind, and be courageous. You know, they say that so many times in the film, like, they're like, that's like the message of the film, be kind and courteous or whatever. And I'm just like, because, you know, I heard some certain critics or what out there saying that, you know, Cinderella just doesn't fit in today's world or whatever and stuff. Because, you know, she needs a man to help her. I'm just like, you know, realize that this movie is set like in 1912, right? So I can see where it doesn't fit in today's world, but you know, a woman back then slapping some dude or something like that, that bitch would get hung. Am I right, Cody? Back me up here.
A woman would get hung, yes.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Yeah, exactly. So now, had they done that, they'd have been like, oh, this time period's all messed up here or whatever, because, you know, I mean, come on now. We go. So, but yeah, so her mother teaches her, hey, just be kind, be courteous. Her mother's played by the lovely Haley Atwell. And then we realize Haley Atwell's dying. She's having a dying scene. Matter of fact, her last words to Cinderella and her husband, I can't remember who her husband was played by. The guy was really good in here. Everybody in here, man, they brought a certain type of charm to them that you just really love about them. Even those ugly sisters and shit. I think it was, yeah, it was Ben Chaplin. Ben Chaplin plays he plays the father here. And he brings even a certain charm to himself here. Very, very charming. And, you know, her last words to them is just like, no matter what happens, always be courteous and kind and courageous to people, no matter how bad they may treat you and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, they say that so many times in the film that I don't even see why people would say, why didn't Cinderella stand up for herself, whatever. And then, you know, later her father is like, hey, Cindy, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm horny, you know. You know, it's like, he's like, you know, would it be possible if, you know, I could probably marry the old chick down the street over here and bring her. She got some daughters, you know, maybe we can bring her in or whatever. And then Cinderella's like, father, there's no need for you to ask me this. I want you to be happy. You look so sad ever since mother died. I know you miss her and stuff, but it's time for you to move on and stuff. That motherfucker got a big ass smile. He's just like, yay. You thought he just stepped out of the Oh My Club or something like that. So we got the evil stepmother played by Kate Blanchett, who's revisiting her role from Blue Jasmine. Because everybody, if you've seen Blue Jasmine, it's about a rich woman whose husband cheated on her, and she just ended up being flat broke or whatever. Yeah, here you damn near got the same character or whatever. Like, I was about to say, is Blue Jasmine her last film? Because I was like, damn, she's walked off the set of Blue Jasmine to do this film, because she walks in here with this snarky-ass attitude. I mean, the minute you see her, when Ben Chaplin opens the car door, the little carriage door for her and shit like that, she throws that fucking cat out the door. Motherfucking Lucifer. Like, everybody remember Lucifer from the animated film or whatever, Lucifer the cat. She throws that all you hear is, or whatever, and this motherfucker just lands on the ground. I was like, damn, animal abuse already, shit. And she's like, and she damn near Dave Chappelle from the Rick James skit, whatever. Hold my drink, bitch. She's licking bitches on the side of the face, whatever. I'm the stepmother, bitch. Enjoy yourself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shit. She's damn near two steps away from that. I mean, what I liked about, let me finish the synopsis. So she moves in, and then the father has to go away for another trip. He ends up dying on the road, which was actually kind of a sad scene. It was funny because getting into Lily James' acting here, I thought she played Cinderella really nice. And even in this scene, you can tell, you know, the dramatic turn of, you know, her father dying, whatever, how she handled herself, I thought was really decent. But her dramatic acting isn't that great in the film, I must say. There was particularly one scene, too, where she was stepping up to her stepmother at the end of the film, and it looks, that was straight up on Lily James' fault as far as the acting go right there. Kenneth Branagh, directed by Kenneth Branagh, people, the master of the Shakespearean dialect, if you will, Thor's master, if you will. Maybe he should have told her, hey, you need to step that shit up, because the expression in her face, it looked bad. I was like, wow, you are not a dramatic actor. Stick with the PG rating here, because
she just casted Chris Hemsworth, man. He's pretty enough.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know what? Yeah, call him Cinderella. Yeah, whatever. Oh, where art thou? Actually, he should have been the prince.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, he should have been the prince. Actually, the prince in here, he's played by Richard Madden. I don't know if I've seen this guy before, but this guy was really charming as shit, too. I know he's on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So, hey, the streak is broken.
Now, finally.
Finally, the streak is broken.
Send him love to do it.
This guy, if I'm not mistaken, he plays Robb Stark on Game of Thrones. I'm catching up on my Game of Thrones, so you know he's actually pretty good in Game of Thrones, and he's the first actor come from that show to finally be in something that's not only fresh on Rotten Tomatoes but did an okay performance too. So, hey, what was this guy's name again? Hey, Richard Madden, the first. You have my hand. You have my hand. My clap for you. My standing ovation. You broke the streak, my friend. Now. So, yeah, good job, man. He's just like, shit, I'm gonna outshine everybody on that show now, baby. I got that Disney money now, baby. He's shaking his shit like Terrence Howard, whatever. Man, shit, I got that Disney money, baby. You know, stepmother's treating Cinderella like shit and stuff like that. She finally goes out in the woods. She runs into this prince. They have a cute little exchange of dialogue between each other where it's just like back and forth banter, which I thought they played off each other really well. The prince was actually really charming in this scene. She gets away and he's just like, his father wants him to marry just to, you know, protect the kingdom and stuff like that. And you know what? This was the first time you see the higher class people, whatever, such as the prince and his father and stuff. Like, you expecting the father to be a straight up douchebag. Like, you can't marry this girl. She's not a princess or nothing like that. But even in his deathbed, he's even more like, you know, he's like, look, I just want you to be happy. Only reason I was forcing this chick to marry on you is because I wanted the people to be safe and know that their king here is happy as well, whatever. But you know what? If you love this girl, go out for her and get her and shit like that. And I was like, wow, they didn't do that typical douchebag shit or whatever. I was like, I'm happy for that. Thank God. Because that was actually a positive for me. So he dies, and a richer man becomes pretty much king, and he sets forth to, and everybody knows this story, he sets forth to find the lovely Cinderella by trying on the glass slipper for everyone. This is what I gotta call flaws on Disney right here. It's like, you think somebody in this goddamn town would be able to fit this fucking shoe, right?
You think, yeah.
But then when I said that in my head, they actually set up in the, because they got narration going on in the background too, they actually set up that, you know, it was the magic of the fairy godmother that only Cinderella was allowed to fit the shoe. And I was like, okay, way to fix yourself there, Diddy, because I was about to say, okay, come on now, because they showed a line of chicks signing up to get this foot on, whatever, and it was just, I was like, come on now, one of these bitches got to be able to fit this damn shoe. And then next, you know, you hear that narration in the background, neither of them could try it, whatever, because it was the magic of her fairy godmother that made it where only Ella could fit the slipper. And I was just like, okay, all right. You see that, Man of Steel? Just little details like that can just fix things. You know what I'm saying?
It's all about
the little things, Cody. Like Woody Harrelson said in Zombieland, gotta enjoy the little things, you know?
There you go.
Whether it's a Twinkie or a goddamn glass slipper. Well, I don't think a glass slipper is a little thing. You can sell that motherfucker on eBay for a couple of And thus, Cinderella and the prince getting married, and Cinderella finally is happy with someone or whatever, and she knows. Now, what I want to say about the film is, man, one thing I really liked about the film, it had a lot of charm into it, man. Everybody in here, I thought, was well casted. The acting on it was really good. Going back, I watched the animated one, too, because I was telling Cody on last week's episode, I bought it. When I got the animated one, I was like, damn, this one is, man, this one is just as fucked up as far as, like, you know, I was like, oh, I need a man to save me here. What I like about this one, though, is that even though this is kind of anti-Frozen, because Frozen had that thing of going like, shit, we don't need no man. We got each other, sister, okay? We got each other, girlfriend, okay? Fuck this man, even though I'm gonna hook up with him. Yes, right, or whatever. I would like to say that half of this film is based on her end up getting a man at the end of the film, marrying a guy, and being happily ever after. But I have to say that I thought that this movie threw in some nice little touches in there where it's saying it wasn't just about her getting a man, and such as, like, one thing is they beat you over the head with this is be kind, courageous, honest with people and stuff like that. They say that so many fucking times in the movie. It's almost as if to say, hey, this ain't about being a straight up bitch or Kate Blanchett's character not standing up to her, nothing like that. It's just, hey, for once, be kind to someone, you know, because little girls nowadays, they some rude bitches. All right, let's be. Be real, whatever. I mean, I heard a little girl the other day call another girl a cunt, and I was like, you know, I mean, so shit. Because I was hearing someone saying that I can't take my daughter to see this because, you know, what does this say for, you know, women? You know, like, she has to marry someone at the end of the film, whatever, to be happy or something like that. I was like, I don't know, but Cinderella in this film seemed to always have been happy in this film because she lived by those words of her mother of being kind and courageous to people and stuff like that, no matter what. I think that was just as part of a message to the film just as much. Because I noticed I was reading a lot of reviews and stuff. No one really brought that up in the review. They kept saying, oh, in this world we live of strong feminist women these days, whatever. I think it's just wrong to make a movie about, you know, having to marry a man at the end of the film, whatever. And I was like, I thought she was damn near in her own place. Now, granted, I think the, because also her mother and father say before they die or whatever is, because a lot of people were saying that why she just doesn't move away from them and stuff like that. And they even set up a scene here because one of her friends was like, yeah, why don't you just move, whatever. And she was like, my father and my mother loved that house. And they asked me in their dying bed if I could take care of that house and make sure everything was okay and stuff with it. Come on now. How can you shit against that? Yeah. I mean, your parents is on their deathbed and ask you to stay, take care of this house and make sure it stays well. I mean, come on now. You can't just leave that house now after that. I mean, perfect example is my grandmother passed away. She told that same thing to my mother or whatever. My mother has kept that house ever since then or whatever. So, I mean, Cody, I'm assuming you would do the same too in your parents' dying bed.
Maybe.
He's like, that house ain't got no history. I ain't gonna. Well, that's right, y'all. You just moved. I was like, oh, man, that house ain't got no history. Okay, well, you know, let me use me as an example then. My family's house has history, so if my mom asked me that, I would keep it then, because it's been around for years now. Matter of fact, since before I was born, so. So, Cody, bad example then. But what I like about, yeah. But what I like about it is Cate Blanchett, man. She played that stepmother evil to a T, man. I mean, damn. There's even a scene at the end of the film where Cinderella, once the prince made the whole glass slipper thing, Cinderella goes back to her place to find the glass slipper, and Cate Blanchett's in the goddamn shadows, man. She's just chilling in the background. She's just like, you looking for this? And she's like, how did you know about that? And she was just like, Cate Blanchett, the stepmother, she told her straight up, let me tell you a fairy tale right about now, whatever. I was like, oh, shit, it got some, she did some Thanos reveal right here, whatever. Them teeth just came out of the shadows and shit, whatever, just like, let me tell you a story, bitch. And I kid you not, it was the same story from Blue Jasmine, man. I was like, oh, shit. She was like,
awesome.
She was like, she didn't say any names in the story, but she was like, I'm going to tell you a story. There was this woman with two daughters who lived happily ever after. She had a great man or whatever that was providing for them. And then one of the days, he often goes and dies and leaves the wife and two daughters with nothing. And then she went off of that story and was like, the world is a cruel place. And if you don't strike it when the opportunity is given, then you will be she pretty much said, you'll be fucked over like the rest of us. And I was like, well, damn, when you put it that way, I can see why you kind of a bitch right now, you know? So, so she was like, she pretty much told Cinderella, you are not about to fuck this up for me, you nappy-headed bitch. I loved it. Cause I was like, ooh, Cate Blanchett. I'm not gonna lie, Cate Blanchett, I think she's gorgeous, but in that scene right there, she just became 20 times hot for me. I was like, oh, tell me that. I was in the theater going, tell me the story again, Cate. You could tell Cate Blanchett's got a little bit of sass to her, you know?
Roles, man.
Especially when he told Matthew McConaughey, man, he was up here for 40 goddamn minutes, whatever. Come on. Cate Blanchett must be dating a black man somewhere. I'm just saying, shit. I've been noticing her lately. She's got some. That's why it sucked to see her that Lord of that goddamn Hobbit movie just sitting in the background doing nothing. I'm just like, nah, this woman got some sass to her. She ain't shit. I'd have loved to have seen her in Prometheus when Idris was playing that damn accordion. She'd have been like, nigga, if you don't put that corny ass instrument down or whatever, I need a man that can play the drums. Miles Teller, come here, baby. Lily James, I thought she did a fine job as playing that cutesy, nice character role, whatever. It was only in the parts where she tried to get real dramatic and cry. I thought she kind of dropped the ball on. You know, her acting didn't really range out that well, especially in that scene I just described where... Because in that scene that I described with Cate Blanchett, Cate Blanchett takes that glass slipper and cracks that shit against the wall and said, you ain't got nothing now. And then this is when Cinderella was like... What? She literally stuttered too. What? Why are you so cruel? And I was like, oh God, you did that bad, Lily James. Oh man, they that should have did some reshots right there, because you could see Cate Blanchett pouring it on in this scene. She was just like, I'm about to get a fucking Oscar, bitch. Okay, I'm about to deliver my ass off. And Lily James fucked that whole scene up with her bad drama delivering. I was like, ugh. Helen Bonham Carter, she's only in that one scene, and you see it in the trailer, which was a shame, because she was really, she really was one of the highlights of the film, as far as it getting entertaining or whatever. Personally, I don't think the movie is, I don't think it, like, stands out from the animated film. I think it's pretty much just saying, hey, if you ever wanted a live-action film of this, you got it. It's right here, beat for beat. I mean...
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what basically stands apart from any other iteration of Cinderella that we've seen before? Like,
you know,
what is the reason to watch this if you haven't seen it before?
There is nothing. I mean, there really... Unless you just, like, really love that story and want to see this film, whatever. And, you know, that was a thing, too, because a lot of people have been saying, like, oh, Disney doing that cheap cash grab, whatever. And, you know, I would agree with that, but I would go, like... You know, I would say it's a cheap cash grab if nobody wanted to see it. And after seeing all these crowded-ass theaters and shit like that, people want to see this shit. I mean, people go out to see this shit, whatever. It's something that people obviously want to see. I mean, obviously, we're going to definitely expect that when the box office comes this weekend. Am I right, Cody? I mean, this isn't something like a Hot Tub Time Machine 2 or a Horrible Bosses 2 where it's just like... Yeah, the first one made money, of course, whatever, and make a sequel. But it was like, nobody asked for that shit, though. Nobody's asking for Cinderella or whatever, but Disney knows that, you know, hey, we could remake any of our old classics, whatever, turn it live action. People will go in droves to see that shit, whatever, because those are just classic films and stuff like that. I don't think nothing in here really stands out as far as you needing to go see this film, unless you want to see a live action Cinderella version of it, because, you know... I know some snobbish-ass people out there, whatever, and I think I've told you about one of them, was just like, I don't watch those cartoons. Those are animation. I don't watch cartoons. I was just like, okay, come on now. I actually know one person that sits up there and brown-noses cartoons and video games and shit like that. He's just like, those are for kids and shit like that. So he probably most likely will go watch this live-action work, because he ain't never watched a fucking animated one by saying, oh, that's for kids. I don't watch shit like that. It's like, okay, whatever, man. I think the performances in here are great or whatever. Everything in here is fine. I think it's a great adaptation, whatever. It's nothing that stands out the blue. I'll tell you one thing that stood out, though, was the goddamn screener they hosted for us. That screener was badass to a T. They had, like, they invited the critics and all that to bring their little kids and stuff like that. They had dresses made for the girl, little girls and stuff like that. They put the girls in it. They actually told us to wear a suit of this shit. So we had to wear suits. Oh, yeah, we wore suits. And when we got to this screen or whatever, they had the lobby, like, set up like it was the ball of the whole fucking, in the Cinderella movie itself and shit like that. I was like, God damn, this is beautiful. Meanwhile, I'm getting security searched for my phone and shit like that or whatever. So, you think they would have changed that? Just no video recordings of this movie is allowed. and it was gorgeous. They had the little girls dressed up in their little princess dresses and shit. We had the food and stuff like that. The whole nine, whatever. They even had like a little dancing ball and stuff like that, whatever, which was really nice to see my black ass thinking like I knew how to dance with these white folks. it was really that. If anything, that's what stood out the most. But overall, the movie was just fine. I enjoyed myself. I didn't walk out of there going like, well, in today's world, this movie just doesn't work or whatever. Because, you know, strong feminists, I don't personally look, like I said on last week's episode, I don't look at shit like that or whatever. I mean, yeah, obviously, this was a live action version of a film that was set in the 1900s and shit like that. So I'm not expecting any differences like that. It is basically the opposite of what Frozen is, and especially the opposite of what Disney is doing today, whatever, with Maleficent and Frozen, by saying, you know, we don't need men, we have the love of our family members and stuff like that. I think it is it's an okay retelling or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't mind. If it came on TV, I wouldn't mind watching it again. Something I'm not probably going to rush out and buy or whatever. I'll probably buy eventually down the road just to have with my Disney Cinderella collection, if you will, or whatever. But it's nothing I'm going to rush out to say, like, oh, you need to see this. So, all in all, probably, I had a good time. I enjoyed myself. Nothing you need to rush out and see. I agree with a lot of the positive, the high rating it's got on Rotten Tomatoes. I see where it's coming from. A lot of women and kids are going to enjoy this, I think, whatever. It has a lot of charm and charm for the adults and humor for the kids, I think, will enjoy itself. Oh, another thing, too, is you have to see this, too, if you want to see that short Frozen Fever, which I'm probably sure you could probably stream online. Right. Yeah, Frozen Fever, man, which I thought it was a nice little short, a nice little continuation of Frozen, which is getting a sequel now, people, whatever. Because I heard someone saying, the Frozen Fever, just, it lacked heart. And I was just like, lacked heart? It was a goddamn short, you know? Because someone had brought it to me, was just like, you know, this compares nothing to Feast, the short. I don't know if you ever saw that Feast. There was no goddamn heart in Feast, okay? Like, have you ever noticed whenever the Academy comes up when the awards come and they do the best animated shorts or whatever and stuff, and all these people go like, these shorts had so much heart here and whatever, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm the only one that sits up there and going like, I don't never see heart. I think they're good shorts. They have a lot of humor and story going for them. Heart is the last thing I fucking think of when I see him, because people go like, I could watch that over and over more than any other movie order. Yeah, because it's only a fucking minute, so obviously you can't. But Feast was just pretty much about a dog eating, and then his owner finally getting a woman, and the woman was feeding him vegetables and shit like that, and then the dog realized, whatever, I'm growing up with this. And I was just like, ain't no fucking, okay, come on now, let's be real. I thought Frozen Fever was just fine. Once it was kind of like the movie, to be honest, whatever. It was nothing I would rush out and see, but I thought it was well animated. The song was pretty nice in it as well. Nice for people that was getting that, wanting that extra inch of Frozen, which I know they were, because that shit is still fucking selling somehow. So yeah, once again, call Disney a cash grab all you want, whatever. But once again, people, movie business is a business industry. Frozen made $1 billion. You damn straight they was gonna make a sequel to that shit. Come on. Yeah. Cody, wouldn't you make a sequel?
I'd make fucking five.
Yeah, you goddamn right. Whatever shit. Shit, I would make 20 of the motherfuckers if they kept shitting out $1 billion, whatever shit. It'd be funny if that short ends up being the highest downloaded short of all goddamn time. With it. I wouldn't be shocked at that shit, because goddamn Frozen is a phenomenon. I don't get why people are complaining about that. It's if people are shocked that they're making a sequel. It's like, really? Are you shocked by that? Come on now. Come on. Disney ain't about art. They about making that money, bitch. And I don't know about the rest of them, Cody, but me and Cody, we 100% approve of that standard, okay? All the more reasons.
Goddamn right, I do.
All the more reasons to for us wanting a job with you, the rat. Because we all about making that. We all about making that money too, baby. So. But you know, over and on, wrap it up, give my final thoughts on my rating, whatever. I gave it a higher rating. I think the movie is just fine. I think it does everything right that a movie star, Kenneth Branagh, I think he delivers in his director. But it's nothing you need to rush out and see, especially if you've seen the animated one. Or if you're just not that big of the anime, because I think Cinderella is the weakest out of all the Disney princesses, if you will. But if you're not a fan of it or whatever, there's no reason for you to go out and see this. You can catch it on TV or something like that, or rent a Redbox one day or something like that. You'll probably watch it and go like, oh, you know what? I'm glad I rented this. And it was fine. It's nothing new here or whatever. So I'm gonna give it a high rent.
Right on, my man. Right on.
Oh, but that.
So
hey.
I guess the only question that remains is, we can get your glass slippers, my friend.
Man, I got my glass tippy toe slippers right now. Whatever. But I broke the bottom heel and shit like that because I tried to kick I tried to, I was doing some, I was drinking at this screen, so, you know, obviously I was,
damn.
I was on that dance floor breakdancing shit. I was like, oh! I think I heard a white person in the background, my word, Charles, who let this Negro in here? Which, by the way, we're in this diversity world. I'm going to tell you this right now. Now, you know most people complain about, why is there never black people in these films? It was weird as fuck seeing black people in this film.
Oh, there's black people in that
movie? Man, there was a couple I saw on the screen. I was just like, that's kind of weird. Okay. There was one, the first, like, I don't think no one caught this or whatever, but there was a couple when her father got back in town. I saw a couple that were like, I guess they were like the horse, I guess they drove the carriage and shit like that, whatever. I was just looking at them. I was just like, they had that nice-ass suit on and shit like that. And then the prince's right-hand man is black.
Really?
And I forgot what this guy's name is, but you've seen him in a lot of stuff, too. God damn. You know, I'm going to look it up, people, because I got to get this. That guy was, he was funny as shit in this movie. Actually, he was really good. I liked him a lot in the film. I'm going to fucking find his name, because I got to get this guy some credit. I cannot remember what he's been in, though, but it's, like, recognizable, too, if you see. Damn, you think this motherfucker would get top billing or something? Come on now. Fuck, I don't know where he's at, so. All right, well. Okay, well, then, never mind. Fuck it, then. All right, well, can't get this nigga no credit, then. Fuck it. But, yeah, dude, he was the prince's right-hand man here, and just watching him on screen, I was just like, I am just waiting for a Klan member to come and hang your ass right about now, bro. I'm sorry. I am sorry, bro. It looked weird as shit. Oh, Nonso Anozie.
Oh, another Game of Thrones cast member.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He was in The Grey. That's right. And he was in Ender's Game. That was the movie I was trying to remember. He was in Ender's Game. Everybody, you probably don't recognize the name, but he's a British black man or whatever. You've probably seen him around a lot of stuff. He was in matter of fact, he was the prince's right-hand man in here, and I was like, man, they gave this brother a lot of power. He was the captain in the film, whatever, and stuff. I was like, you know, right now, somewhere, someone's talking about we should hang this motherfucker right now. You know that, right? So I want people to think about that now. Because right now, I bet there's, it's one of those things, you damn you do, you damn if you don't. Because right now, it's probably just like, there was no black people in this time period. But had they not stuck him in there, why is there never black people in these films? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Hashtag progression, Cody.
Dressed in these old rags. You shall not go to the ball.